This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to another session of the War Room. And we've been looking through the era of church history, and we are sort of moving a bit on, but today a little bit of a tangent, and the tangent is the churches are rising up against churches. Now, again, the main point we are making in the War Room, we are fighting a war, and the war is not against other churches, and the war is not against people. Yeah, it is not a war against flesh and blood. It's not a war against against adherence to another religion. But what we are fighting against is the lie and deception. And it's a war of words where we are trying to seek to get the truth out there and to let people know what the Word of God says and what they need to do in order to be reconciled with God. Okay, what I want to look at today is a big ploy the enemy has done, and that is to bring discord within the church. Now, let's quickly go and define who a Christian is. We've got, as I mentioned before, we've got two unities, or two types of unity. We've got, and Jesus said himself, you know, that he prays that we are one in him, and that the world will see, you know, that we belong to Jesus by the love we've got for one another. And what we find is we suddenly get the ecumenical movement, the movement of the lowest common denominator, and they are looking unity, and it's the Orthodox, the Protestants, the Lutherans, and the Catholics, and the Muslims, and the Dalai Lama, and everybody else. They all come together, and they all make one happy club, and they say, "Oh, we all love one another." And the Catholic Church has got like this big advertising campaign, you know, they all believe in love and therefore, you know, it's a good thing. And I mean, I'm not going along and I'm saying, look, we need to hate those people or we need to have a war to find out who's really right or anything like that. I'm not saying that and I'm not promoting that. I'm not advocating that. But we need to stick with the truth. And the man we serve, he has got a very radical gospel. And he has even got the audacity to say that no one can come to God except through him. So there's no other way. There's no other way other than Jesus Christ. And that is important. I can have unity in this point, yeah, with another Christian. If he has broken through to Jesus Christ and he is a child of God, born by the Spirit of God, on that level I can have a unity. And it doesn't matter where this person stands, whether this person is an Episcopal or even a Catholic, you know, even though the doctrine is way out there, yeah, or that person is, you know, a Pentecostal or a Southern Baptist, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care less, you know, providing that person knows Jesus. And that is really the key. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of stories. I'm going to tell you a little bit my own history, my own background, and which, in a way, probably has made me very open to different denominations. You know? We all have the same confession, we all have the same testimony, but we just have different organizations, so we are in different organizations, and I would not fight from one denomination to another, but I've seen this very often. And then I'm going to tell you one experience I had in America where I was dealing with a pastor who poured out his heart and told me a story of what was going on in his church, and it really stuck with me. And we find that some things today, they go desperately wrong, and there are big, big problems in the church. And we need to not give the devil a foothold in our church. Okay. And then I'll also make a point of some of the things I've heard. I cannot prove it. I've never seen it, but I think it's quite plausible. So we're going to look at the three things in this talk, the War Room talk, and then we're going to look at what can we do in our War Room to address the situation. Okay, so number one is, just to give you a background of where I'm from, I was 16 years old when I became a Christian, and it was just a bunch of all places, Scandinavian Christians, Swedish Christians who came to our town, and I think there was one couple from Finland as well, and the rest were Germans. And then obviously that was in Germany, and they came to our town and they had a tent crusade, and there was a big investment and lots of people came, and they tried to help the small church to, you know, to grow and to really get the word, get the gospel out there. And these people, they sacrificed the holiday to come to Germany and to preach the gospel in my town. For me, it was quite sort of a moving experience. At the time, I was heavily involved in some political activism, and I was just recruiting for some propaganda film we had and we wanted to show. And I met these guys, and something spoke to me. I was sort of a Catholic, a good Catholic, I thought. I was reading my Bible, actually, yeah. I didn't understand most of it because it didn't tie up with whatever I was taught within Catholicism. And yet I believed Jesus. I knew, you know, whatever I thought within the Catholic Church and whatever I was reading in the Bible, there was a problem, quite a big problem, actually. But I couldn't fully understand it, and I didn't try to, but I felt I had to do it, and Jesus was my hero, as simple as that. But I didn't understand the concept of salvation. I didn't understand repentance and the death on the cross, and a lot of things to me were a very, very, very big mystery, and I couldn't make head or tail on it. But okay, let me take it one step further. It might be quite an interesting thing for you to know as well. And I'm going to out you myself a little bit. I was a member of the Communist Party in West Germany, or was about to become a member. I was the president of the youth organization of the local town group. And obviously, it wasn't a big thing. There were just a handful of people there. And I just happened to be one of the first guys, and they had to get a president of the local group. And I happened to be there. So no great feat in any form whatsoever. But I was loyal. And basically, when I sort of got into something, I really got into it. And I got really into that one. On my 16th birthday, I signed the request to be admitted to the party, and there had to be a committee meeting, and I was invited to the committee meeting. And the days before, I read in the Bible a lot about this stuff, you know, confessing Christ before man, and, you know, if you do this, he will confess, or Christ will profess us before the angels and the Father. And then I read all the stuff about hell and the gnashing of teeth and so on. So I knew it was very, very important, you know, if put on the line and somebody says, you know, do you believe Jesus is God? To say, yes, he is, yeah, or that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. Yes, he is, and that he is the Son of God. Yes, he is. That, for me, was very, very important. And that's one thing I learned in my nightly Bible reading when I was 16 years old. I got to the committee meeting and everything went well because I was the president of the, you know, the youth organization, and I was, you know, loyal to the party line and everything. I was a good worker. I was a good agitator, I think they called it in those days. And I was loyal, you know. I was a good guy, you know, loyal, helpful, and I really loved the party. And then one of the guys had the audacity to ask whether I would subscribe to dialectic materialism. I didn't really have a problem with that. And then he asked me whether I would declare myself to be an atheist. And at that point I said, no, I'm not an atheist. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is a Messiah and that he is the Son of God. Because I thought that's what I had to do. And I put myself on the side of Jesus. I loved the party. I'd been with the party for almost 2 years at this point. And I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be in there and I wanted to be part of it and all the rest of it. But I also loved Jesus and I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And I knew what was written in the New Testament, that if we don't profess him, you know, we are going to be in trouble. You know, we're going to be in trouble. And if we are ashamed of professing him, we're going to be in trouble. And I wasn't ashamed. I just said it straight out. And they had a big problem. They had the, you know, the socialist working class youth president of the local group publicly professing to be a Christian. And I didn't really understand, I didn't really know what I was doing. But it they had a big discussion. They sent me out of the room, and there was like this silence in the committee meeting, and they didn't know what to do. And it was sort of a very sort of strange scenario, very strange scenario out there. Anyway, they let me back in, and I think the argument they had is that somewhere else there was a Lutheran pastor who had joined the Communist Party, and if he can join, surely they can't ban me from it. And then they had some other points as well, where they thought, you know, if better for them to have me as a young man than the other side, and so on. And so they let me in, but this unleashed some events, and I don't know. I mean, I know God has, you know, planned all this from the outset, but suddenly there was something released, and I started meeting these Christians. Yeah, I started meeting these Christians, and there were a bunch of them were, you know, from the Jesus People movement, and they just joined in to support them, and actually, that was a year later. No, let me just get it right. There were sort of people from all over the place, but there was a Scandinavian Christian. They started sort of preaching to me, and I started preaching to them to try and, you know, convince them of the virtues of the dialectic materialism, of socialism. And what happened is they left an impression on me. Yeah? And I was quite fascinated by these people. So one night I was, fixing my motorbike, and I went past this big tent they had erected in the middle of town, and I ended up at this event. A long story short, I felt the presence of God when I went in there, and in the end I gave my life to Jesus because I felt God was talking to me, and he said, look, this is the truth, you know, what you've got here, and it's your choice. You can go ahead in the career path you've chosen with the party and everything else, but you're gonna deceive yourself, or you can follow me, and you will find the truth. And that was something I was always looking for, and I thought I was finding it in socialism at the time. I'm just a young man, don't know much at that sort of age. You just try to make sense of it all. Anyway, when I realized that this was going on, I caved in, and a bunch of guys prayed for me, and I felt that something was released from within myself. I had a big problem with depression and a lot of bad stuff which was going on in my life, and it all lifted off me within an instant and never really came back. And that was quite amazing. Now, that church was a Pentecostal church, so I stayed with this church for some time. And I sort of understood the basic gospel. And a year later, I met, and that was where these traveling Christians came in. They lived like a bunch of gypsies, like traveling people without a permanent home. And they were just going from town to town preaching the gospel. And the next year, they joined the crusade, and they were doing the same thing that was happening the year before. And I sort of saw a completely different view of, you know, the way they were operating, what they were doing. And then I got to know another part of the group who lived in on a farm about 20, 30 miles away from my hometown. And I started visiting them as well. And a lot of people from the church followed me. They had the services during the week. But my desire was just to learn of the Bible, and I didn't feel that within this Pentecostal church I was getting a good understanding, a good instruction of the Bible. All I got was just, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and here are a bunch of rules you need to follow, and if you don't follow them, the Lord won't be happy with you. That was pretty much the doctrine I had, but I didn't really understand. I didn't really get a grasp of what was going on. It was just like the big finger, you naughty boy, don't do this, you know. That was the sermon pretty much all the time. So anyway, I myself and a couple of guys I met in the church, we started going to during the week during this other group, ex people of Jesus People, and the church organized itself around the Brethren principle, like the Brethren Church. Later, it was supervised by the Mennonite Outreach Mission, and we had like sometimes a guy come in from Canada, and he was, you know, guiding us, helping us a bit, making sure everything is okay, and answering questions and things like that. But it was very Bible-oriented. It was all about the Word of God. It was all about the Bible. The Bible was read from Genesis to Revelation, and it was talked about all the time, and a very, very different approach. And I kind of found that, you know, as we got together and, you know, opened the Bible, that the Spirit of God would just descend and leave a tremendous amount of peace in our hearts, in my heart, as we were just sharing and having fellowship together. And for me, that was quite interesting, because I could learn for the first time in my life that, yes, there are, you know, the Pentecostals with all the, you know, the gifting and the noisiness and so on, and there are also other people who are really quiet, but nevertheless, God is there in the same way. God is there in the same way. It doesn't really matter how we express our faith, and we can just be honest to ourselves and be quiet, or maybe, you know, if we've got the temperament, we can be a bit noisy as well, and God is still there. God is still the same in either. So what then? I mean, later on, I moved around and I went to different types of churches, you know, both parts of the divide, charismatic, non-charismatic, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal. And I learned an awful lot, but the main thing I learned is that, you know, Jesus is there. You know, if people love Jesus with all of their hearts, you know, the way they worship, the way they, they run the service, it doesn't really matter. You know, you can sense straight away whether there's a love of God among them or not, whether they're brothers and sisters in Christ or they're not. There's something, you know, a unity in your spirit when you stand, you know, amongst other Christians. And that is very, very important. Okay, now go further a few years. And a few years ago, I was in, spent a lot of time in America, just helping out a business over there. And I got in touch with one church, a wonderful church, you know, just located really nicely, nice building and all the rest of it. But there were only like a handful of people there. And I didn't know what was going on, and then one day I was the only one who turned up for the church service, and the pastor started telling me a little bit about the story of what went on. It was a vibrant, it was a big church, and he was called in there to be their pastor, and then one day they asked him to change the church, yeah, to make it a little bit more modern. And it was sort of a traditional old-style Baptist, you know, with pews and, you know, everybody had this allocated place where they were sitting, and they wanted, you know, to do all the modern stuff, to go with the times, you know, have a data projector, have, you know, proper chairs, carpet in the church, and better PA system, and so on. And he went along with this, and suddenly some people got really upset about everything that was going on there. And by the sounds of it, it was just like a handful of people who caused a massive church split, and they started leaving the church and opened up their own church somewhere else. And again, it's a big problem. They took a lot of people with them, and some people, he said, the arguments were partly so bad that one guy, he said, he looked at him, and whilst he was screaming at him, you know, red as anything, being so angry, that he could see his hair turning white. He said it was just surreal, you know, when I talked to the pastor. I don't know the ins and outs of this story, but what I picked up is that something very tragic has happened. You know, there was a church, and later on, you know, a couple of years later, I met people from that church who have split off, and they started running a small Christian school, and my friend's son, he was in this Christian school, and I saw these people, and they were really kind and good people, you know. They loved the Lord, and they really wanted to do the right thing, and there was no fault with them. And yet, something must have gone dramatically wrong, and there was nobody to reel it in. And it might just be a couple of key people who, you know, who weren't really operating in the Spirit of God, who weren't really functioning by the Spirit of God, but who were functioning by something else. And there was something great and something good happening, and these guys, they rose up to try and bring destruction and division. My friends, I want to warn you of this. We need to look for unity in Christ. There's a point and there's a time when we need to seek division, and that is when there's bad doctrine, when people go off on a tangent, when people preach a different gospel, not the gospel Paul has preached, but a different one, when heresy creeps in to an extreme, to a point where it affects people's lives and their relationship with God. That's sort of my, and I'm not quite sure how close on our right I am, but I think that is a point where we need to decide to part ways and say, look, you do your stuff, we do our stuff, but we cannot work together because your gospel is clearly portrayed in a different manner and in a different fashion, and it doesn't correspond with our understanding of the love of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there may be a point, but nevertheless, it should not be in bitterness. It should be in a sense of, I see you go the wrong path. I'm going to pray for you, my brother. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to seek God on your behalf that he will correct the error of your ways. And should it be me that's wrong, I will be prepared to listen, and I will be prepared to change as well. And I'll be open to the voice of God in my life to correct my way. But we need to go our separate ways, and not screaming and shouting and, bad reports and bad rumors and all the rest of it. That is not the right way, and that is not the right thing to do. And we need to bear this in mind. Okay, the last point I want to make for today, and that is that I was listening to some former witches and warlocks, people who have subscribed themselves to the occult, but then they came back to Jesus Christ and they surrendered their life to Christ, and they started talking about their stories and what they were getting into, and obviously if there's a good church somewhere, it's a big thorn in the flesh in the side of the enemy, and he tries to tear this church down, and sometimes deliberately sends those people into the church with the given aim to take the church down, and that's often done in various ways, and one of them may be through compromising the pastor, through sex maybe. It can be done through financial things or through sowing discord within the church. I don't know whether anything like that happened in the church which I attended. I don't know the full story, to be fair, so it's very, very difficult to elaborate on it. But what we need to see, and again, I'm not suggesting in our war room to go on a witch hunt, but if there is a discord within the church, we should be seen to be peacemakers. If there's a problem within the church, we should try to get the different sides to come together in peace and unity. If there are hard feelings in the church, we shouldn't fan the fire by, pouring oil on it, but we should take a bucket of water and quench the fire, and instead look for some means or some way of reconciliation. In the end, we are serving one Lord, and in the end, we shouldn't exhaust our energy in fighting one another, but we should be looking for to build the kingdom of God, to serve our Lord and Master, to be forgiving as we need to be forgiven, to seek the face of God in all of these things, and even if we suspect that there are people from the other side within our community, they are people, they are just victims like anybody else, and what a good opportunity to preach to them and to let them know that Jesus loves them. And further, the power is on our side. It's not on their side. We have got a huge amount of power on our side. And what we need to do is we need to pray the power of God into their lives to either be totally inoperable in the evil they try to do, and even better, to come to an understanding of Jesus Christ and to leave their old ways, and to join in and to become one of us and to be counted amongst the redeemed of the Lord. And that is very important. So that should be our witch hunt in true Christianity. And that is to reach out to them and to set them free from the power of the occult. and from the power of evil, and to make them into servants of Christ. I just want to remind you of one story with Paul. Paul, he was preaching, and he had this truthsayer, this woman, this oracle, who was following him, and there's a spirit inside of her, and bearing in mind the demonic spirit. And maybe he just wanted to gain some brownie points because he knows what his fate is. And he was just saying that these two men, you know, they are servants of the Most High God. Listen to what they have to say. And she was just shouting this and shouting this. And Paul just got fed up, and he cast out the spirit. And at that point, obviously, the story goes on. You know, the owner realized that the oracle was no longer able to do any oracle stuff, and he had lost a lot of savings with the slave girl, and he was very angry that Paul chucked out the demon. Anyway, just a point, you know, the power is on our side. So if people get empowered by evil and they come within our ranks to try and cause division and destruction, there's more power on our side. We can destroy the power that is driving them. And if their heart is open to receive Jesus Christ, we can introduce the gospel to them and see in them a brother or a sister, you know, who has come to the Lord with heaven rejoicing over another lost soul being snatched away from the gates of hell. Okay, you're listening to The War Room. Maybe something for you as well in your war room to look at what is going on within the churches, and maybe also, you know, something you can do within your town. And if there are Bible-believing churches in your town, maybe you can reach out in brotherly spirit to do something together and to have like a common push to evangelize the town. Have a Bible exhibition, as I was talking about it yesterday. Or, you know, have just an event where you all work together, where you proclaim the gospel and let people know that there is a way to Jesus, there's a way to God, and they can escape this life of dissipation in favor of a life of serving the Most High God. And it's important, and if they see that, you know, that church and the other church, they are working together, there's a very, very strong witness, very strong witness. Okay, I'm going to leave it at this point, and, you know, if you want to go to the website, feel free to leave a message. It's The War Room, not The War Room, ChristianWarRoom.com, ChristianWarRoom.com, and just go to the post-it section, post it somewhere, and obviously if you've got a question or something, we can pick it up, and I get to see it. Lord, I want to praise you for your word, and I want to pray today for unity amongst your children. Lord, help us to reach out to one another and to not, you know, meet one another with a lot of suspicion, but rather to meet one another as brothers and sisters who are serving one Lord and one Master. I pray, Lord, that you will grant us a spirit of unity and that you will allow us to work together. I pray against division in churches. And Lord, and where there is division, I pray, Lord, that you will empower our listeners to go against it and to help for peace to return amongst those who quarrel and argue against one another. In Jesus' name.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.